These two you would come and meet and have a little service. You go out and eat, then you come back in, and that's when they had their preaching. I learned early on that I wasn't called to be a homecoming preacher. I knew if you wanted to cancel a date, that's when you cancel, because I tell you what, after people ate all that food, they'd come in and half of them be asleep. The others were belching, and it wasn't a pretty sight from the pulpit, I tell you. Nowadays they do it. Nowadays we've learned, and we do the preaching before we eat. But I hope you're not so stuffed with turkey that you do me that way this morning. Are you awake? Amen. Say that one more time. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. It's good to see you out in the house of the Lord. If you would, I'd like you to be turning with us to the book of Galatians, the 5th chapter. I'm going to read some. I promise you, or I try not to keep you real long this morning, but this thought's been on our mind all week, and we'd just like to minister just a little bit. Would you bow your heads? Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be here this day. I thank you for this week. I thank you, Lord, for making this a special week for those, Lord, to give thanks. And, Lord, we just give you praise. As it comes the time, Lord, that we break the bread of life today, I ask that you will anoint me. Lord, that you anoint my mind and my tongue, God. Let me speak the words that you would have me to speak. I ask, Lord, that you open the hearts of the congregation that they might receive this word, and that the seed of the word of God could be sown deep in the good ground of the heart and bring forth much fruit. In the name of Jesus, devil, we rebuke you. That you do not steal, kill, or destroy this word. And the church says, I know I have you like popcorn, but if you would, all those that's able, let's stand for the reading of the word of God. The 22nd verse, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, verse 23, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. And if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be delirious of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And the church says, you may be seated. I thought about, thank you, Jake, my mouth is dry as cotton. I thought about today how that our country is being shaped. And I tell you, I read an article sometime the past month or so or two that was talking about how that the church has shaped America. How that the reason America has always had a morals and been an outstanding nation is because the church has always held true to their beliefs. But it seems like that the church has also compromised and kind of got laid back and isolated. And America is not the same America. If you read the fruits of the Spirit, meekness and goodness and kindness and joy and peace and happiness, the Bible says there's no such law against them. But I asked you in America today, with all the hate, the dislike, the what do you call it, no trust in one another, the division that's sweeping our nation and the lack of morals in our nation, what's happening? I believe that if America ever changes, it'll not be by the Supreme Court. It'll not be by the President of the United States. It'll not be by the Congress or the Senate or the state government. It'll be when the church returns to holiness. Amen. I believe it'll be when the church begins to seek God once again. and that we begin to let our spirit be manifested out for people to see. They don't see love no more. Can I be as bold to say this before I get in this message? It's hard to tell the church from the world. Is that all right to say that? And you say, Pastor, are you talking about dress? I'm talking about the spirit. I've never seen so many people that'll. I didn't watch much news. Did anybody watch the news about Friday morning, them shoppers? Man alive. They killing each other. For a $3 savings or a $10 savings, they fist fight. People was arrested. What's wrong with this country? You cut in front of somebody in Walmart, find out how mean they can get in a hurry. Then when they calm down, you ask them, and they're the best member of so-and-so first. Let me say it this way. They're the best member of the first dead church in Tazewell. Come on now. 1 minute they're talking about God, next minute they got road rage. Something's happening, church, and it's going to be something has to take place in our country. And so as I was reading this, there was one verse that stuck out in my mind over and over. If we'll go to verse number 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That is a powerful statement. Walking, I want to minister just a few minutes this morning on walking in the Spirit. Now, if you go to, just very quickly, if you would, I just want to make one point. Go to Acts 2 and 2, just very quickly. I want to show you something, then we're going to minister. I want you to listen to what the writer of Acts by the Holy Ghost said about this Holy Ghost or about the Spirit. It came, and suddenly there came as a sound from heaven as a rushing, mighty wind. Compared the Spirit to a wind. You say, well, that was that writer. Would you put up John 3 and 8, if you would? I'm going to show you Jesus just did the same thing. John 3 and 8 says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but can't not tell from whence it cometh or whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of what? Spirit. Born of the Spirit. So what you say, Pastor, what are we talking about? So many people today, one of the reasons the church cannot be the example to the world is because we can't get through our own trials. We're having time getting through our own tribulations, our own troubles. So because we think we're alone, we think we have nobody to help us, nobody there with us. Do you know that the wind you cannot see except what it moves? It's not tangible. Because we do not understand about walking in the Spirit anymore. We're wanting something tangible, something we can see, something we can hold, something that we know is there. I want to tell you something. We have an invisible Spirit of God called the Holy Ghost. That was given to us to be with us forever. That's what it says in the book of John, the 14th chapter. He said, he shall abide with you forever. And we have this invisible. See, sometimes we think, well, a lot of times we get into emotions. And some people lack emotions, some don't. Can I tell you this much? When the wind blows, the Holy Ghost is moving. I can't help it. I'm going to be emotional. I can't help it. You can say it's my personality, you can say anything you want, but when I feel the power of God, I'm going to move a little bit. I'm going to shout a little bit. I'm going to enjoy the power of God. But at the same time, when I'm in the deepest trial and I'm wading in water waist deep and I don't know how I'm going to make it out, I still know that invisible wind is with me and has not left me and will be there to see me through it all. You see, because we're wanting something tangible, We think we're alone sometimes, and we forget that we have the power of God with us. Can somebody say amen? I want to give you just a few more scriptures. Let me get a drink. My mouth is dry. You just have to excuse me. Just a second. The enemy is going to come against us in this day and hour more than we would ever think or ever believe. Put up Isaiah 43 and 2. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. I could preach on this time and time again. It says, when thou passest through the water, I'm going to be with you. I don't have to, somebody doesn't have to tell me that God's with me. I don't have to see him. I know that he's with me because he said it. The invisible wind of God. It's a rushing mighty wind. Then he says, and though the rivers shall overflow thee. You see, sometimes we, the church, we've had it preached that we'll not go through too much or we'll not do this or that. Can I tell you something? I don't know about you, but sometimes the rivers overflow me. Sometimes I'm tossed to the right and I'm tossed to the left. I'm beat on the rocks and I just don't know where tomorrow holds. But I do know one thing. I may not see him. I may not feel him. I may not even suspect that he's there. But I can tell you one thing. He has not left me. He will go with me. Understanding that this is what the world needs. We cannot have this joy, peace, happiness, meekness, kindness, gentleness. We can't have this if we're not walking in the Spirit. You say, yes, I can, preacher. No, you know what happens? We have it for 15 minutes. We have it for as strong as our will is, we can have it. But the first time we're rubbed the wrong way, we lose that. Come on, can I preach a minute? But when the Spirit's there, he quickens us to know that we know the invisible power of the wind that goes with us, the Holy Ghost. The next thing that I believe is so important is for some reason today, we have tried to place the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, into our situations and into our programs and into our lives. We tried to make him predictable. You say, no, I don't, Pastor. Let me just tell you what the Spirit was telling me. Some of us, including me, because we got blessed by a certain song sung a certain way at a certain time, we think that every time somebody sings it that way or don't sing it that way or do it that way, we don't expect God to move. You see, we're so predictable. I'm going to give you an example before I get into Scripture. I heard Benny Hinn say this. And this is going to go out. So for those that are listening, I'm not quoting Benny Hinn word for word. I'm giving this as I remember it. I don't want somebody to come and say, Benny Hinn said this. This is the way I remember it. Benny Hinn said he was in a healing service in his young ministry, getting started. He said the power of God moved on him. And there was somebody there, and I don't remember what they had, but they had was very sick. And he took off his coat, and he put around them, and God healed them. So he said the next time he had a convention, he said the Spirit started moving. He took off his coat, and he put on somebody. Then he done it again. He said this went on for maybe 5 or 6 conventions. And he said one day he was having lunch or playing golf or something with Oral Roberts. And he said, Oral Roberts said, come over here, son. He said, I want to talk to you about something. He said, just because God used your coat one time to heal doesn't mean he wants you to do that from now on. He said, God is not predictable. The Holy Ghost is not predictable. He said, do you want to be known as a coat minister or a minister of God? See, we have tried to make the Holy Ghost predictable to us. The Bible says he blows where he wants. You don't know which way he comes from. How many's ever been in a service where the Holy Ghost settles in? Sometimes I've been in somewhere nobody could speak one word. A silence come over the service. And some, you know, us pastors and preachers have not, we think silence is bad. You know, we want to, I like to say things. And I remember several times I'd want to say something and the Holy Ghost just said, sit there, son. One time we was in one and nobody said nothing for like 15 minutes. Just people praying. All of a sudden the door opened, somebody come in from outside and come and got saved. If we would have broke them, if we would have quenched the spirit, may not happen. See, we want to be, we try to make the Holy Ghost predictable in our life. You see, we get up in the morning, we do our morning prayers, we do our morning, every what our routine is, and then we say, now God, I'll do this if you'll do this. God wants us to begin, he wants us to be led by the Spirit that's unpredictable. Sometimes God wants you to talk to somebody that you've never talked to before. Anybody, God ever do that to you? Maybe somebody don't even like you. God ever send you somebody don't like you? I say, God, there's millions of people in this world. Why are you sending me to this person? And God sends you there. And you don't even know why. I remember one time, driving down the road, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, go into this business. I said, Lord, I don't need nothing they got. And the Spirit just said, impressed on me, get there. And so I pull into this business, and I go in, and everybody's looking at me, and I don't need nothing. The guy says, can I help you? I said, no, I'm just browsing. And I stood there, and I stood there, and I stood there, and I browsed. I said, now, Lord, I've done what you want me. Finally, this little guy that was sitting behind the counter, he said, sir, are you a preacher? I said, yes, sir. He said, would you mind praying with us? We were asking for somebody to pray with us. Do you see how sometimes it's unpredictable? Amen. One time I pulled into a place, and God said, don't you say a word in this place. I said, Lord, that's be rude, because I was buying something for the church. I went in there. Guy asked me what I want. I told him. I never said a word. I never said, just said what I wanted. And how much is it? I was going to write a check. And about the time I was writing the check, they picked up their conversation. There was three preachers in there, and they was arguing like you wouldn't believe. And God told me to stay out of it. See, if I'd have went in there being my normal self, I would have got right in the middle of that mess. Come on now. God is unpredictable. We make him predictable. We come to church, and we think that we can preach him down, sing him down, shout him down. All we have to do is come and surrender unto him, and then we can see God move. Can I have amen on that? How many wants to change to be a part of helping the world? Do you want to? You have to become unpredictable. How many wants to be used by the Holy Ghost? You have to become unpredictable. You cannot be predictable and be used by God. He will. That's the first thing that he'll break you from, is being predictable. And then the wind is in, the Holy Ghost is invisible. He's unpredictable. And the next thing he is, he's all powerful. I said he's all powerful. This is what changes lives. This is why I know we don't have to act like the world. This is why I know that we can be different and be a light into the world, because we have somebody that's powerful. If we allow him to use us, we have become powerful in God. I told you this, and I've read this about 2 months ago, and I wanted to share it, and I've hunted for the article ever since, and I finally found the magazine it come out of, and the pages was missing. So I don't know if I tore the pages out and stuck somewhere, but I wanted to share this with you. One of the great revivals that swept the Netherlands and London was started by two elderly women in their 80s. One was totally blind, and the other one was full of arthritis, that neither one of them could leave their houses. But every time that awakening is mentioned, their names are mentioned, because they prayed high as 24 hours a day, many days without sleep. And when the revival swept the country, they never got to attend one service because they couldn't get out of the house. But yet God used them. The Holy Ghost used them. I've said this, and I know his name starts with an L, Lester or something. I'm not good with names, but one of the great awakenings that swept America, great revivals after the Civil War, was started by one man. One man that decided he would spend 1 hour a day praying for God to move. The first week it was him. The second week, or two or three days, there was five of them. But after 30 days, there was as high as 50,000 people would stop and go out and begin to pray. And God sent a move of God. The Holy Ghost began to move. You see, the devil has got us convinced that we can do nothing. And we have the all power that's with us. Oh, when you begin to speak with the word and authority of God, heaven takes notice, and so does the enemy. Because that's thus saith the word of God. We have an awesome power of God that can move and begin to move. As I was studying this, I said, I could write a book on the miracle power of the Holy Ghost. I can tell you times that on the very instant that I needed God, that he told me he would be there. I shared this. I'm going to share one or two quickly. The time that we were pastoring our first church, and he was going to cut my electric off my apartment. God said, go out there and tell the man I'll have the money will be here by this evening. The man said, sir, I can't take your word. He said, call me preacher. He said, preacher. And finally, I just kept on. I said, well, God told me, and God don't lie. He said, preacher, he said, if you'll go to Jefferson City and deposit a check by 11 o'clock tonight, I'll leave it. He said, but if that check ain't there, he said, I promise you, you can have all the money in the world. I'm turning your electric off first thing in the morning. I didn't even have gas money to go check the mail. I said, it will be there, sir. God told me it would. I said, the Holy Ghost will not lie. He said, we'll see, preacher. We waited till we know the last mail had run, and we drove over on our last little bit of gas to make it and coast it up to the post office. You can say this. I don't know these people. I don't even know if it exists. But a church I'd never heard of, a place I'd never seen, people I'd never met, I have no idea how they got my address, sent me the money, cash, to pay that bill. And God knew it. You can say anything you want, but there's power in this. He's all power. I don't know what you're going through, but he's able. You see, it's the enemy that makes us think that we have nothing and we can be defeated. I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what Obama does. He can't stop the Holy Ghost. I don't care what Russia does. They can't stop the Holy Ghost. When God's people, glory to God, begin to seek his face and begin to let the Holy Ghost move again, we may not see it, and we may not, he may be unpredictable and make us look strange to the rest of the world, but his power will impress all, because there is no power like our God. We never ask for seeking anymore. We're not seeking God like we should. We're not wanting the Holy Ghost to move. I shared with you last Sunday that God was teaching me about the portal holes of heaven. It can be personal or some have in the church. And as I was studying this week, I want to share this with you. It's here last Sunday. God reminded me where I was the day that he told me how to buy this building. I'd walked in here for real estate woman. It was all glass. One of the windows was broken. Right here. And if you have a level and you want to shoot a level, this is lower. The lowest spot of this building is right here. The water was over my up over my shoes into my ankles. Only right here, big puddle of water. I was standing in this water. I'd never been in the back yet. Had never went to the back yet. I just walked in. This wall wasn't here. This little room here. I'd never been in the back yet. I was standing right here. One of the church trustees was standing about right here. When the Lord spoke to me and said, "You can have this building for $25,000. This is 7,000 square feet. Over 7,000. I told the trustee, and he got mad at me. He said, "You're insulting them, and we'll never get this." And walked out. Did. Got very upset. Chewed me out. I said, "But God told me." The real estate woman come from the back. I said, "I'm going to send somebody down to your office in the morning with an offer." Said, "You'll have an offer." When the man went down there, she laughed at him. She said, "No, they won't take that, sir." After we got the building, a preacher stood right in my face. And his face was as red as Becky's dress. He pointed that big finger and touched my nose, almost touched it. Thank God he didn't. Touch anything in my body, don't touch my nose. It's big and I don't like it touched. It's been broke a lot. But he got right there and he said, "I'll tell you one thing, preacher. If I'd have known that building would have sold for $25,000, you'd have never got it." I said, "Sir, you don't understand. God told me I was going to get it." I said, "God told me." Another businessman that owns a couple buildings in here, he coming to me, he said, if I'd have known it went for $25,000, you'd never got it." I said, "You don't understand. God said I'd get it." You see, when God tells you you're going to come through your storms and walk out, you can bank on it, because that's exactly what's going to happen, because the Holy Ghost won't let you down. He has the power to see you through it all. There's people here that you have promises that God's going to give you victory. It's time that you quit muddling around and hanging around in a trial. Pick up yourself and say, "By the power of the Holy Ghost, I'm going on through this, because God has promised it and He has the power." Is this all right? The power of it. We have come to a place. I'm going to read you a verse. Right here, if they will. Put up Isaiah 29 and 13. This is why the church is compromised. Why, if we'd do this, there'd be no compromise. It says, and I'm just want to go into it back here, "Have moved their hearts far from me in a fear." That's not the one I want, but it'll do. "For as much as his people draw nigh." Go to the next verse. I believe it's the next one. Is that it? Go back one. I can't read my own writing. You'll have to excuse me. I know it's right here. I'll let you find it. Just say, let me read it, and we'll find it. He says, "You shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your hearts." Now, you Bible readers, find that for me. "You shall search for me and find me when you search with me with all of your heart." You see, the trouble is, we're searching for God. We're all the time asking, but we're not seeking. How many knows that if we begin to seek the face of God, the Holy Ghost can move and come upon us? The Holy Ghost can begin to stir. But if we don't seek God, how many believes He'll pour it out if you don't want it? How many believes He's going to give it to you if you don't ask for it? If you're not seeking. You see, we have to begin to seek the Lord. The Trouble is, we come to services and we think that we've done God a big favor and he's just going to give us anything we want because we've showed up or that we're such a good person. But I want to tell you something. Jeremiah had it in Isaiah, didn't I? Thank you. I knew I'd preached it too many times. I knew it was Bible. When we've come to that place that we begin to seek the Lord, we can have the Spirit to begin to move with us. I'm going to ask you this. As a body of believers, when was the last time we began to seek for the move of God? In unity. How many times have we gathered here in this church and we said we're here to see the God move and we're going to seek the Lord? And Lord, we're not leaving this building until we see the Spirit begin to move. Amen. How long do you think it before the Holy Ghost would shake this building? You see, we punch in 20 seconds on our microwave or 30 seconds. If it isn't right then, it's not for us. And then we see another generation falling by the wayside. Church, I truly believe this. If America shall ever stand at all, it'll be because the church is standing. An uncompromising church. Is that all right to say that? We have to be an uncompromising church that stands truly on thus saith the word of God. You say, Pastor, there is no dark areas. I just don't know. I have people ask me, is this a sin or is that a sin? And I don't mean to hurt nobody's feelings, but can I say this? If you're walking in the Spirit, you don't have to ask nobody. You'll know what's sin and what's not. You'll know immediately. Before you even do something wrong, the Holy Ghost will begin to speak to you, begin to minister to you. You'll not have to ask. It's all right to ask me. I tell people all the time, don't ask me unless you want my opinion. Because sometimes I give people my opinions and they get mad at me. If you don't ask me, I probably won't give it to you. But if you ask me, I will let you know my opinion. But it's like this. We shouldn't. What happens if you're out here and you're all by yourself and you're not walking in the Spirit and you say, is this right or wrong? What are you showing around? When you do something that ain't right, what are you showing the world? But when the Spirit's there, you're going to know it right then. Is this preaching all right? This reminds me of some of the old time preaching. When I was growing up, I never heard it might be a sin or maybe. I never heard about gray areas. It was always yay and nay. And maybe them old time preachers, they didn't want to take a chance. They put everything just about in the sin category. That was good. Well, they wasn't about, my dad used to tell me, he said, son, I'd rather err on the side of good. And boy, he did. He was conservative. And my dad told me this one thing I remember my whole life. I still do it, everything I do. He says, son, before you do anything in your life, put Christ in the middle of it. If you can't put Christ in the middle of it, don't do it. Amen. He says, it's not worth doing. He said, I don't care if it's right or wrong. If you can't put Christ in it, don't do it. And I'm going to say that this morning. Put Christ in it. If you can't keep Christ in it, then don't get in it. If you're here today and you want a touch of God, you need a touch of God in your life. There's one thing I learned this week. Eat a lot of turkey, you don't want to do nothing. You can have all the plans in the world, but when your belly gets full of turkey and gravy and dressing, you just, the cheer seems better. I think the American church is founded. I think we're founded on programs, and we've heard the word, but we haven't let the Spirit have its way yet. We need to let the Spirit of God. But, Pastor, what if he makes me unpredictable? I can assure you, will be. You will be so unpredictable. But there'll be a power with it, an anointing. If you're here today and you've struggled. See, I believe that everybody sitting here, I believe this is on my heart. Every single person in this building, with everything in your heart, you want to do what's right. I don't even believe you'd be here if you didn't have that in your heart. I believe you want to. But I also know that there's many times during the week that you stumble and fall. And sometimes it hurts you so bad that you don't even want to come back to church. You say, I shouldn't have done that. And then you think, I can never make it. The devil's convinced you that this is your lot in life, that you're just going to be a hot and cold person. He's convinced you of it. That you're never going to be the soldier that God wants you to be. I'm going to tell you this thing right now. And I'm not bragging about this. But when you have the Spirit of God, and you begin to walk in the Spirit. I said, when you walk in the Spirit, you will become a soldier in the army of God, and there'll be no hot and cold days. There'll be no hot or cold days. Oh, I ain't going to say you'll never stumble, but I'll tell you this much. When you stumble, you'll be up so fast the devil won't even see the dust. I'm going to give you a little something as they come into the music. One of the last times, see, I was very athletic as a young man and young teenager. Loved sports. And as I got older, I didn't realize I lost my skills. And so one summer, some guys called me and said, Bill, come and play softball with us. I hadn't played in 10 years. And I thought, okay, be good exercise. So I get out there, and I'm still a big feller. Bro Jack says, I'm one of them big ones. In fact, that was my nickname, Biggin. They called me the Biggin. And I get up to the plate, and I hit the ball, and it goes plumb to the fence. Didn't go over like it used to, but it hit the fence. And here I am, 16-year-old in my mind. Man, I'm running. I think I'm running lightning, but my feet can't keep up with my mind. And you're talking about being funny. By the time I went around second base, my nose is almost touching the ground, but my feet's trying to hang in there. And so I start towards home because I know I've always hit home runs. And I'm telling you, my mind was getting there, and my feet was about on third base, and my mind was crossing home plate. Anyways, somewhere along the way, I went airborne. And I made the prettiest slide you've ever seen in your life. I was outstretched about this high. My nose hit home plate, and I slid. Cross home plate, tumbling plumb up to the backstop and stood up. And I walked away like I did that. The seat of my pants was ripped out. I didn't have no knees, but boy, was I proud. Sister Becky knew the difference. She was a laughing and a laughing and laughing, and still does. You see, I thought I could. I was remembering back. But I'm going to tell you today, you don't have to do that. If the Holy Ghost wants you to run, you'll gird up your clothes and you'll take off, and the team of the best horses in all the land can't keep up with you. When the Holy Ghost moves you. You may be as weak as jello right now, but when the Holy Ghost is upon you, you'll be as a lion. The troubles and difficulties you face in this life will soon disappear. The weaknesses. I just want you to begin to seek God this day. Because I believe time is way too short. I believe times are getting bad and going to get a little bit worse, and America is going to be shaking and rattling and rolling. And those that's rooted and grounded, and those that know the Spirit of God, will stand true and will not shake. They will not vibrate. They will not fall. They're going to make it. They'll not round third base and do a nosedive. Have you ever experienced what I'm talking about? I asked. You can all answer it. Power of God. Here's what I'm going to say to you. Now, when I started out, when I got saved, they insisted that I had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I'm glad they did. But I'd give $1,000 right now if I had it. When I started out, if it had just taught me to worship and to know the presence of God, because then it would have come so much easier. I spent probably close to a year wearing my knees out, wasting all my prayers, pestering people to death. I hurt them. I had to go visit churches all the time because the home church didn't like me. I prayed too much. I wanted it. I'd go to other churches and I'd walk in the door and I'd hear, oh no. I'm serious. Sister Lindenberg Jack knows some of these preachers. And they love me, but they say, oh no. One of them told me one night, said, Brother Bill, we gotta go to work. We don't need you praying all night. I said, okay. I went home and prayed. If somebody would have just taught me, what I'm trying to tell you right now is, no matter where you're at, God, begin to seek the Lord and grow from that forward up. I would rather be going climbing higher than idling. I'd rather be increasing than decreasing. There's people who said, well, I've never had the baptism, and so you just don't, that's no reason not to seek God. You need this. You need a move of God in your life. While every head is bowed, give me a song just as I get my thoughts together. A chorus, please, one chorus.
How great is our God. And sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great.
I'd like for everybody in the building, just stand with me as they sing this. Everybody at table.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great.
How great. See, there's people in here this morning that they may be way above me because they've sought this. They may be people that this is new to you and you haven't even begun to seek God. Maybe some here this morning that you've just given up. Maybe there's some that says, I'm just going to leave that to the preachers or the teachers. I want to tell you something. God be my witness as I stand here this morning. Every child, every man, every woman, at every age, this is for you. There's no special privileges. It's not just for the special few. What I'm talking about is for everyone. If you want victory in your life, are there anybody here who wants to overcome? Anybody here been struggling and need to overcome? God sees these hands. This is God's ministering to you right now. There's no magic formula. I've been in services where I've seen people raise their hand and the Spirit begin to move. You see, He's unpredictable. I've seen and on Prairie Stone's tapes, I've seen him before just asked, seemed like 100 people just received this all at one time, just the total fullness of it. Only thing I can ask you to do is if you'll seek God. I want you to seek His face. I don't, for the next few minutes, I don't want you to ask God for anything. I don't care what you need in your life. If you need finances, food, clothing, what, don't ask God for that right now. I want you to seek His face. Because He said, if you seek my face, you'll find me. If you search me with all your heart, you're going to find me. This is a promise from the Bible. You will find the Lord when you seek Him. He'll be there for you. He will minister. He'll come right to you. And He'll minister to you right now. I want everybody, as they sing this song, I want you just to raise your hands. Those that are seeking God for a closer walk. Those that want to walk in the Spirit. Those that need to overcome. That needs a friend that will not leave you. That needs someone to be there. That needs strength. Right now, Lord, let the Holy Ghost move upon these. You see their hands. You see their cries, Lord. You know what's in their heart right now. Father, right now, let the Holy Ghost. Lord, open the portals above them right now. Oh, let the portals of heaven ring down. Open and ring down blessings. Well, glory. Glory. Don't settle for a drop. Don't settle for just a little bit. Ankle deep's not good enough. Knee deep ain't good enough. I think somebody say, Pastor, let me swim a little while. Tell the Lord right now. That's the Holy Ghost moving in this place. Oh, I feel His touch right now. I feel His mighty touch right now. Glory to God. Almighty God right now. Glory to God. That's the Holy Ghost. Somebody's feeling the Holy Ghost. I feel it. I feel His Spirit. Oh, just hovering in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How great. How great. Are there anyone this morning that would want a special prayer? You know, there comes a time, and I'm going to close with this thought this morning. It's not that you've lost what you have. It's not that He's not with you. But there's times that you just need a refreshing and a renewing in your heart. And sometimes you need to let Him into your closets. You need to let Him into the corners of your life. I wish I could impress on the young people what the Holy Ghost could do for you. What He can do right now. The changing He can do in your life. The restoring. The moving. The power. Man, I feel something. Will everybody raise your hand one more time and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Give the Lord a clap of worship, will you, please? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. There's nobody that needs prayer? Yes.
I would like church to pray. I've been having pain in the back of my leg since yesterday. When I got on the mound, and it's a run nail to the side of my foot on the other side right around my ankle. It's last night I couldn't hardly walk on it. But I know God's a healer. He's took care
He's
of
able, isn't He?
And He'll continue.
Amen. Point your hands this way, church, right now. Heavenly Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, You're able right now, God, to touch Sister Francine. Lord, just touch her body, God. Lord, everyone's causing this, Lord, right now. Let her be made whole, God, I pray. In the name of Jesus, well, glory. Glory, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, give the Lord a clap of worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Let's pray for Sister Becky. She's our grandson has the flu, and her son had the flu, and Sister Becky, she The last thing we need is for her to be, for me, that's the last thing I need for my cook to be sick.
You got plenty left.
Let's pray for her right now. Heavenly Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Are there anyone else? Glory to God. I remember, I'm going to say this. I pastors always get the last word, so I'm going to say this very quickly. I'm going to show you I can do it in 1 minute. You ain't got to watch the time, that's all right. But I remember one time Sister Becky had come down with shingles, and I just started the first night of revival. The service was over. She said, I need God to heal me.
Yes.
And it was just like this. There wasn't no great move of God like you would expect, just a prayer. Guess what? God healed her. God is a, I'm telling you, there's something about the power of my God. Shake hands, smile, spread some gospel sunshine, and we'll see you back here this evening at 6 o'clock. God bless you.
She was saying.